This is a download from BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
Good afternoon and welcome to the show. Hyperactivity is a contested term in many countries, as there's conflicting research about whether children are born or made hyperactive and what actually constitutes hyperactivity. In the studio with me today, psychiatrist Dr. Noor Hamida. He will explain more about hyperactive children as well as, you know, adults, how that actually works and whether or not it's a nature versus nurture kind of a thing. Welcome to the show, Dr. Noor. How are you today?
Thank you. I'm fine. Alhamdulillah.
Dr. Noor, I mean, how would you describe hyperactivity? I mean, sometimes it can be quite tricky because certain groups of people do, you know, go through hyperactivity, children, some teenagers, you know. So how do you, how would you define it?
Hyperactivity by itself is just a symptom of the ADHD or attention deficit hyperactivity disorder.
Mm-hmm.
As you know, some children of certain age, they cannot sit down. That's why it's appropriate for the age. Hyperactive in ADHD or attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, this is more than the normal hyperactive. I mean, they have, like we call it, motor restlessness. They're always on the go. You know, you can tell them, sit down, please. They probably sit down, but they'll be fidgeting around and touching here and there.
How do you make that distinction between a child who's hyperactive and a child who's just active, you know?
A child who are hyperactive, they cannot sit down, or they still, you know, on the move when they are in a, you know, socially they are supposed to, let's say, sit down.
Mm-hmm.
But children who are hyperactive, not just they cannot sit down, but they may be also disruptive.
Do you see many of them in coming in to see you?
Yes, I do.
Mm-hmm. The time that you've been practicing, do you see an increase in the number of children coming forward?
I think that there has been an increase, partly because of the awareness, and young parents are more open to this.
Aware, yes, and it's no longer a stigma to come and,
yes,
you know, get help.
Yes.
And the age range between in which you see these children?
Well, as young as 3, as old, well, you consider them children, adults, I see adults who have been presented.
Adults as
yes.
well? Okay. Just to move on to the adults, are these adults, obviously they have been, can we assume that these adults have had ADHD as children as well all the time?
Usually, that is the case.
Mm-hmm.
Because when we track back the history, you know, because usually when they present to us in adults, they can either present by themselves or they were brought by the parents or by the referred by somebody.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so their presentation may not be hyper. They may have problem in coping with academic. You know, for older adults, for young adults,
for teenagers,
even young adult in university and college, or they may have conduct problem.
Conduct meaning.
Impulsive behavior, like they're stealing, and then when we realize that, when we look into the behavior, and then we realize that when we talk to them, it is actually part of the ADHD symptom.
Okay,
you know, ADHD symptom, when it is not being addressed or treated, they have many complications.
Right,
one of it is conduct disorder, or you know, even more than that, when they go adults, you know, it will be termed differently already.
Right, one would have thought that it becomes milder or less of a problem when you become an adult. Is that true?
In a way, yes, it's true, because ADHD is a neurodevelopmental problem.
Mm-hmm.
So when the children get matured, certain part matured, but certain part doesn't get fully matured. So they tend to outgrow more on the hyperactive side, but their attention deficit may remains.
Right. So then that surfaces in adulthood.
The heart.
Okay. So the neurological side does improve.
Yes.
Okay. Are adults with this condition characterized as ADHD or ADD? There's a difference between ADD and ADHD.
Definitely. Mm-hmm. And usually we have to see which is the more predominant. Is it the hyperactive, you know? We can say that this is ADHD. Is it predominant hyperactive? Or because some, even children, they also predominant can be just ADD or attention deficit. They may not be too hyper, you know, as disruptive, you know, but they may probably just ADHD. But as they grow older, the hyperactive...
It becomes ADD.
ADD, more
okay.
of the ADD.
When you say attention deficit, how would you define that?
Attention deficit means they have a very low attention span for their age. You know, for example, children who are in standard 1, how long do we expect them to sit down?
Mm-hmm.
But they cannot do that, just like their normal peers, that we call it. And then they get distracted easily. They get distracted and they cannot, even like, for example, like copying from the blackboards.
Yep.
They have a problem. And even not just that, listening to you, you even finish your sentence, their mind is restricted.
Right.
So that's what we call the attention deficit. So when you cannot listen until what the teacher or the parents are talking, you cannot get all the message.
Mm-hmm.
What more to process and retain. So they tend to make more mistakes. Keep the same mistake. You have to, I told you before, and you know, again and again, the parent would say, but the child or the boy would still repeat.
Right, okay. It must be quite difficult, isn't it? Having to cope with a child with ADHD. But it doesn't necessarily, I mean, I'm sure you have tools in place as to how, with advancements in, you know, research and development, I'm sure there's a lot of coping mechanisms. What are some of them that parents can adopt when, you know, they do in fact have a child with ADD or ADHD?
Okay. Usually what I would do is that, first is that once they need to understand what is ADHD all about, you know, how it's affecting the child, accept the problem. And then only then you can work on the children.
Yeah, so don't be in denial.
Yes.
Accept it and then
work on the children. And then look, you know, because that depends on what the children's predominant problems. You know, because sometimes, as I said, they can present with a conduct problem rather than, doctor, my child is hyperactive. It's more on the conduct. You know, so we deal with that first. But usually children of hyperactive, they are also, not just they're always on the go, they are also a bit clumsy. Part of the neurodevelopmental, they can also be a bit, what we call it, can be disorganized. You know? And when they like something, they're hyper-focused. When they don't like, they can back off.
Right.
So you need to help them build structure and until they get into the habits. Then you try to leave them, whether they can do it on their own.
So early intervention is
early intervention,
very important.
Very young, from very young.
So it's all about building, helping to build structure for them. And then, does that help?
It helps. It helps them on track. Because, you know, children are hyperactive. They cannot sit down on their own. And you need to be monitored and you're watching them. And they will finish. And they want to finish it fast. Sometimes they don't care the answer as long as they finish it and they can play.
Right.
So you have to give them a frequent break, for example.
The whole idea of conduct, the impulsivity, if you do, in fact, build structure in the early days, does that help them to become less impulsive and, you know, affect their conduct later on?
It helps them to control their behavior because they know that when they sit down and finish their work, they get good grades, for example. So, you know, and they get their rewards.
That motivates them.
Yes. You know, the reward can come not just from the grade, the compliments, the acceptance, the approval, the self-esteem on the children.
Mm-hmm.
So that they learn. Now, that also would depend on the child coping mechanism. Some children are hyper, they're loud, they speak in the class, but then they would sit in front rather than sit at the back. Because when you sit at the back or at the window, many things get...
They will be distracted.
Yes. So this is all classroom management, home management. Right?
So it's the support system needs to be quite extensive in that you just don't have parents involved. Teacher needs to be notified,
yes.
And you know, teachers now. But are the teachers able to cope, Dr. Noor? Because you know, they have in government schools. We know they have so many children in one class. It's not really their fault either. But then, as a result, they are, you know, stigmatized. They are kept. They are told over and over that they are lazy. They are hyper. They are naughty.
Yes.
How do you fix that then?
Okay. Now what I do to all the parents whereby the children have learning problems or developmental problem is to certify to the school. They may not have to fill out the special education form that the child would need a learning support, either in special class or in a normal class.
Mm-hmm.
So once it's got notified, it's the school responsibility to find that learning support.
Right. And that is in place now?
Is this coming up to in place?
Okay.
Slowly.
It hasn't... Okay. Okay, we're moving towards it slowly, but surely.
Yes, surely. Hopefully, the new parents, yeah.
Yes. So if parents are empowered, then they can demand more for their children.
Yes.
We are discussing hyperactivity amongst children, especially with psychiatrist Dr. Noor Hamida. If you have a question for her, send it through. The number is 016-201-9000, or you can tweet BFM Radio.
This is a download from BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
Good afternoon. It is The Bigger Picture. Thank you for joining us. We're discussing hyperactive children with Dr. Noor Hamida. She's a psychiatrist. And, you know, we all know there seems to be a higher incidence of children with ADD and ADHD. Some of us are unable to cope with it. Some of us fail to recognize it. But I think we need to open our minds for the sake of our children, because early intervention, as Dr. Noor said earlier, is extremely crucial. Do we know what causes hyperactivity, Dr. Noor?
ADHD. I would use the term ADHD because hyperactivity is just one of the symptoms of ADHD.
Okay.
Okay. It's a biological condition, actually. It's an, as I say, it's a neurodevelopmental problem.
Yeah.
Related to that is the problem of executive functions of the brain.
What about genes? Does that play a role?
Well, it does.
Unfortunately.
Yeah, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. But there are no clear-cut studies that shows how much is the genetic inheritance that you can get if your parents are hyperactive. Mm-hmm. But they notice that, you know, it's partly genetics.
What about diet? Does that play a role in hyperactivity? And we always, you know, we always link sugar to, you know, hyperactive behavior.
As you know, hyperactive children, they're always not good, as if they're very energetic, mm-hmm. even though they're not eating.
Right.
If you're putting sugar to that, you, I don't know, you multiply it.
So you got to take sugar off their diet?
You don't take off from their sugar, but probably you control them, you know, because, you know, children by nature, they like sweet things. But somehow some ADHD children, they don't like sweet things. That depends. Because many of them also have kind of issues in terms of diets.
Right.
Allergies. But if you're giving them more chocolate and ice cream and sweets, yes.
It would make it worse. Does family dysfunction or communication issues contribute to hyperactivity? I mean, broken families, you know, violence in the family, a whole host of other issues.
You know, probably when there was the family violence, there's some kind of genetic problem there. You know, that probably they inherit, but that is not the violence, but it may contribute or make it worse. It not contribute as the genetic part of it, but it can make it worse. That means it doesn't cause the hyperactivity. Because it's, as I said, it's biological.
Right.
Mm. It's biological. But when the brain gets insulted, either in the womb, when the child is born, during delivery, during the first few years of life, it could affect the brain development. It can affect the child. So probably when there's violence, God knows, maybe physical abuse and trauma, mm-hmm. psychological, that affect the brain functions.
Right. And it brings about
that way. Yes.
Which brings about the neuro.
Right.
Development problem?
Yes.
Okay, all right. And why does hyperactivity come under your purview as a psychiatrist? I mean, can't a psychologist look at this?
Well, our clinical psychologist. Mm-hmm. I know that depends on the country. Locally in Malaysia, it's the child psychiatrist who see this. Because, you know, the way that they manifest, not in the physical, more on the behavioral, mm-hmm. emotional, the learning problems, you know, and so this is where the pediatrician are not trained or have the time to treat them. But we're being trained not just to diagnose, but to manage these children's behavior and do parenting and coachings, you know, guidance. That's why they put it. And some of them do have comorbid problem like the anxiety problems, learning problems. So we. It's not just the child psychiatrist. Of course, mostly we are the one who clinically diagnose, but we also usually would need assessment. Usually, we work with clinical psychologists. We don't have that many educational psychologists, mm-hmm. hopefully in future.
Ideally, we should.
Yes, because that will help us a lot connecting to school. We have more clinical psychologists, which is assisting our work in terms of doing more detailed assessment, which you see which part of ADHD... Yeah. Because from there, then we also test their cognitive ability. Because when they don't focus well, they don't perform well. They may appear smart, but they're not performing well. So people think they are lazy or stupid.
Mm-hmm.
So usually, you'd be surprised. Many of our ADHD children can have normal, if not good, IQ.
Right. So, and we would hamper that if we don't address it early.
Pity them.
Yeah. It's a waste, really.
Definitely.
Mm-hmm. And how do you assess? Is it a form that you tick as you talk to parents and the children? Or, you know, how do you diagnose ADHD?
Okay, ADHD is, let me tell you the main symptom of ADHD.
Mm-hmm.
One is, as we mentioned earlier, the hyperactivity. I mean, motor restlessness always undergo. Fidgetiness, yeah? That's number one, hyperactive. Number two is that they are very short attention span. Yeah? Under that, of course, they get easily distractible. Number three is that they are impulsive. Impulsive means they don't think long before they say. They do, can be verbal, mm-hmm. it can be, you know, they do something without thinking.
Right.
You know, so even sometimes they talk without thinking. So you have three more symptoms, and this symptom manifests in more than two surrounding, not just at home, not just at school. Maybe at least home and school, or let's say in the social environment.
Okay.
So two out of three, and then you know that this is hyperactive.
Okay. But there also seems to be overdiagnosis of ADHD, Dr. Noor. How do you know then? I mean, are we all being paranoid, and are you saying the assessment process may not be as accurate as it should be?
Okay. I believe hyperactive has been there. But last time, our school system is different. I remember my time, we learned ABC at year one.
Yeah.
Okay, my time, you know. But nowadays, you're expected to restart from 3 years old.
Yes.
So when the children are not fully matured, okay, so, and children go to school much earlier, they have been exposed and expected to sit down. And children have less space to play, no sands or grounds, yep. or trees to climb, which help them to mature their sensory motor, you know. And so I believe that's why we are diagnosing more now. And the awareness that people cannot tolerate when children is hyper and they're expected to behave like that. But last time, we leave our children running around. No. Socially, we expect them to. Yeah.
The milestones have changed. It's come forward. I mean, we have milestones for children as they grow, but more and more, as you said, is expected out of them. So
socially, academically, expected to be more mature.
So then why are we labelling all of them as ADHD, you know?
That's why usually, clinically, we have to be very careful. You know, before, that's why we would, if you ask me how do I assess, yes, it's a clinical assessment based on the parents' interview, the school's reports, observation of the children, and what I mentioned earlier is not just manifest, because they would see me at least not half an hour, at least an hour.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they can sit down and play, but after half an hour, they start exploring your room.
Right. Then you know.
And then we know.
But are doctors savvy enough to identify the symptoms of hyperactivity today than they used to before? I mean, not everyone's going to come in. I mean, look, the first point of contact will probably be the pediatrician or the general practitioner.
Yes.
But are doctors savvy enough to identify that there could be a problem? I mean, no GP or pediatrician is going to spend a whole hour with you. So then, ideally, what should you do?
Well, we have growing numbers of psychiatrists and child psychiatrists, clinical psychologists. So, in other words, we do have the number, but whether to match, because not everyone to come forward to us. So, doctors are getting more savvy. We are training more specialists now, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Yeah, but then, I think we can diagnose. The only thing, whether the child or the parents bring them forward.
Bring forward.
No.
Okay. Are hyperactive children disadvantaged in the classroom, and they're always penalized as, you know, having a lack of focus? So as parents at home, I mean, how do you, even amongst peers, you know, they may have labels for you. How then at home do you console your child or tell them that, you know, that isn't the case?
I answer the first question first. Children like this, if they are not recognized, so people don't understand, so they will be not given the supports either economically or socially at school. So that's why, you know, because normally ADHD children, they don't think long, as I said, they do.
Mm-hmm.
They don't finish. They tend to be a bit rude sometimes because they don't know boundaries.
Yep.
Sometimes time sense also poor. So they do make much more mistake than normal children. So the tendency to them to get punished is much more. So yes, that's why we need to certify these children, and then the school know that they cannot be caning her or him 100 times because she
doing the same thing
all over again. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Do they then need more structured activities or outdoor playtime for them to release some of that excess energy?
Yes, because you know they cannot sit long. So in between, you allow them to move around, to move around and probably take their drink at the back of their bags, you know, and
fidgety.
They have to move. Then they come back. You know, as long as they don't disrupt the class, that's fine.
It seems to affect more boys than girls.
Yeah.
Do we know why?
I suppose that's the genetic part as well. You know, and you know, boys are by nature more physical, more motor wise. It's actually twice more often in boys than girls. Yeah.
Twice, double the rate.
Yes.
Okay. Before we go on, I'm going to go on to, of course, prescription of drugs to mitigate this sort of behavior, which I'm totally against. But maybe you can shed more light as to why I'm wrong. But we have a question via text message. Someone's asking, how can a 28-year-old be helped? He's recently been diagnosed with ADHD. He's a university graduate, but he cannot hold down a job. What is your advice?
Oh, so I mean, if he has been diagnosed, I believe he's already on a treatment plan.
Just diagnosed at 28?
Yeah, you know, you can have a treatment plan, which probably can include medication plus cognitive behavior therapy with the psychologist. The medicine can have to come from the psychiatrist.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and the cognitive behavior therapies, you know, to help you understand your behavior and to restructure your behavior with the clinical psychologist or, you know, behaviorist who could help him there.
I'm just glad that at 28 he was diagnosed. I mean, can you imagine moving on with life and not being able to hold on a job and not understanding what really the problem is? Mm. Okay, so medications to mitigate the behavior, when do you prescribe medications?
You know, when the child could not focus, that he fails to perform. It disrupts the class. It affects the relationships. Yeah? And so that we cannot... So then usually we would start on the medications.
Mm-hmm.
That also we... Now we have more than Ritalin in the market. I mean, there are other types of medications for ADHD. So we give them options. Initially, yes, if the child, the ADHD level is probably mild and moderate, if the system support that, we may not need medications. I agree, you know, as well. But then you know our system. If we have 50 children in a class, you can't, right? So that's where we need them to be focused.
Side effects of these drugs?
Ritalin,
this is very much debated, actually.
Yeah. Ritalin, for example, has is an amphetamine base. So you know, amphetamine based is suppress your appetite. So for children, to counter that, usually we make sure that the children doesn't have any heart problems or any hematological problem, blood disorders, problem with appetites. Yeah, and so we give them usually after meals in the morning, after breakfast, and without them, this is medicine to help you to learn better. But even though you're not hungry, break, you must eat. Lunch break, you must eat. Dinner, you must eat. Usually the medicine, for example, Ritalin, the ordinary Ritalin, only works for 4-6 hours. So after that, your appetite goes back to normal.
Right. These are called cognitive enhancers. Why are they so controversial?
I suppose because of the potential of abuse. As I said, because it's amphetamine-based, some of it... not Ritalin, you know, similar chemical are being used for some people who want to lose weight.
Right.
You know, some people shouldn't use it last minute for them to focus and study without sleeping. And of course, when in an overdose, it can crash your brain. So that's why it's a controlled drugs, only prescribed by certain specialists.
Right. And cognitive behavior is also very important. Cognitive help. Is also very important at the same time.
Yes.
You know, Dr. Nora, I often hear of parents who have children with ADHD say that fish oil seems to help them. Is there much science to back that up?
You know, the fish oil means that they have content high DHA. But scientifically, for our journals, there was no evidence for that. Mm-hmm. But probably for mild one, it may help. For the moderate to severe, but it may not help, and it takes a long time, and they have to take plenty of that, and not every child can take fish because it's, you know, they are fish oil based.
Right.
In some cases, may not be able to take that, and it doesn't work that fast compared to, for example, Ritalin. Ritalin you take now, you can focus now, so that's why it's immediate. Yeah, but then the fish, it improves your DHA. It in long term, it helps you probably to get your brain more mature, but it takes a long time. Right. Meanwhile, what happened to the child?
Right. So they then they are unable to cope because...
Yes.
Okay. Are hyperactive children sort of harmful for to themselves or even to those who are less active around them?
You know, when they are, as I said, impulsive, you know, and they, because they also have emotion that depends on the child's temperament, the hot temper. So, because the for example, their inability to control their impulse, they may hurt other children. When, for example, I just, this is the one of the classic example that I had. This boy was referred to me because he hit the classmate with an iron rod.
Oh dear. Okay. How old were they?
They were like somewhere around 8 years old.
Okay.
Because he just wanted to enter the class and the girl was just playing with him, her like that, you
Blocking
know, putting
him.
Up her hand and you cannot go in. But this boy, no, his mood is not right. He's hyper. He just pop and there, the teacher sent the boy to us. Then I realized this boy has ADHD, you know, after all the assessment and the interview with the parents, yeah, and the schools. And I realized that this child has ADHD. On top of that, he's very emotionally upset. Not just because he's hyper, but because he's not being accepted by the father.
Right.
Some kind of double, huh? Kind of focus and emotional turbulence like this, huh?
Yes.
Upset, make him worse. So if you say that, but not all ADHD are, we call it, can be potentially, you know, dangerous, or they are not actually dangerous. They can be very bubbly, very sociable. But, you know, they doesn't know when to stop. So socially, you have to tell them,
yeah,
this is appropriate, this is not appropriate. You have to tell them many times, not just one time or three times.
Yeah. Okay. So anything else that's misunderstood about children with ADHD?
I would like to emphasize ADHD is a neurodevelopmental problem and they can be treated. And if they are treated early, identified early, it's easier for the child because they feel accepted, they feel addressed, and they get help and learning support, social supports as they grow. So they be more happier person. But if you fail to recognize this, if you, like, you only 28, you realize that. As soon as you realize it, come for treatment, there is a way to help you.
Yeah. It's never too late.
Never.
Thank you very much
Thank
for joining
God.
Me. Dr. Noor Hamida, a psychiatrist on hyperactive children on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.